Revelation chapter 9 is one of the most terrifying passages in the Bible. Please do not go outside, but rather stay indoors if you ever see signs of its prophecy coming true. And I am going to release a very powerful prayer for you in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Kindly watch till the end to learn about the most catastrophic event on earth and the most fearsome being in the Bible. The Old Testament has 15 books of prophecy, while the New Testament has only one, Revelation. The Apostle John wrote it while in Ephesus, where he lived and was eventually buried along with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Revelation was penned towards the end of the first century when Emperor Domitian mandated that everyone burn incense for Caesar once a year on the Lord's Day. People had to declare, "Caesar is Lord," but early Christians could only proclaim Jesus as Lord, facing severe consequences for their faith. This book is a guide for those willing to die for their beliefs. Initially, martyr meant witness, but it soon came to signify someone who dies for their faith in Jesus. John's revelation is distinct from his other writings because it was delivered uniquely. God the Father gave it to Jesus, who then passed it to an angel, who conveyed it to John. This complex process is unlike any other book in the Bible. John documented his visions, sometimes needing the angel's reminder to write everything down. Revelation's central theme is the return of Jesus Christ, an event foretold 318 times in the Bible, making it the most frequently mentioned prophecy. The book describes events before, during, and after Jesus' return, including the seven trumpets introduced in Revelation chapters 8 and 11. These trumpets, part of the seventh seal, symbolize judgment and occur during the tribulation. The first trumpet brings hail and fire mixed with blood, burning a third of the earth's trees and all grass, similar to the seventh plague in Egypt. The second trumpet sees a blazing mountain thrown into the sea, turning a third of it to blood, destroying ships, and killing marine life, reminiscent of the first Egyptian plague. The third trumpet affects freshwater sources, while the fourth trumpet darkens a third of the sun, moon, and stars. Following these, an angel warns of the remaining three trumpets, the three woes. The fifth trumpet, the first woe, releases demonic locusts from the abyss. These locusts torment people without the seal of God for 5 months, a punishment so severe that people will seek death but not find it. These are not ordinary locusts but demonic beings, symbolizing a swarm of demons unleashed on earth during the Great Tribulation. The leader of these locusts, Apollyon, or Abaddon in Hebrew, is a high-ranking demon from the abyss. This name means destroyer, reflecting his role in bringing destruction. Abaddon appears in the Old Testament as a place of the dead, associated with death and Hades. In Revelation, he represents the organized evil forces opposing God's people. Revelation symbols can be grouped into four types. Clear ones like the dragon representing the devil. Those explained in the text like the stars as angels. Symbols found elsewhere in the Bible such as the tree of life. And unclear symbols like the white stone, whose meaning is debated. Numbers are also symbolic, with the number 7 appearing frequently, representing completeness or perfection. The seven trumpets, part of the seventh seal, signify a series of judgments during the end times. The first four seals involve the four horsemen bringing conquest, war, famine, and death. The last three seals and trumpets describe increasingly severe judgments leading to the final confrontation between good and evil. Revelation chapter 9 introduces demonic locusts and their leader, Apollyon, heralding a period of unprecedented suffering. The chapter serves as a stark reminder of the ultimate judgment and the necessity of faith in the face of impending doom. God's servants appears again in Revelation 7, verses 1 to 3. It speaks of four angels who have the power to harm the earth and the sea, yet they are told to wait until the servants of God are sealed on their foreheads. This protective seal indicates God's claim on the individuals, marking them as his own in the face of impending judgments. The number of months for the duration of the torment mentioned in Revelation, 5 months, symbolizes the limited time of suffering ordained by God, and the intensity of the torment is likened to the sting of a scorpion. This torment reflects the dire consequences of demonic influence and the profound suffering it brings. Demons, as spiritual entities, are in perpetual opposition to God's sovereignty. They strive to lead people astray through sin, temptation, and fear. Yet their power is circumscribed by God's will. Despite the demons' malevolence, they remain under divine control, serving as instruments in God's broader plan. Christians are exhorted to resist demonic influences by adhering to God's commands and standing firm in faith. Understanding the nature and tactics of demons is essential for recognizing and opposing their influence. The imagery in Revelation, including the locusts of Abaddon and the four angels bound at the Euphrates, serves to illustrate the severity of divine judgment and the necessity of repentance. Revelation 9 describes the release of these angels to kill a third of humanity, signifying a momentous event orchestrated within God's timeline. This judgment is both a consequence of human sin and a call to repentance, emphasizing the gravity of turning away from God. The vast demonic army, described in terms that might reflect modern warfare or a supernatural force, highlights the unprecedented scale of this judgment. The account underscores that, despite the severity of these judgments, many people will not repent, continuing in their sinful ways. This persistence in sin, even after witnessing divine judgments, reveals the depth of human rebellion against God. The sealing of God's servants, mentioned in various parts of Revelation, signifies divine protection and ownership. This seal, a spiritual mark, indicates that those who belong to God will be safeguarded amidst the chaos of judgment. The sealing serves as a reminder of God's promises and His call to faithfulness, assuring believers of His protection in times of tribulation. Revelation 9 presents a vivid portrayal of divine judgment through demonic forces, emphasizing the need for repentance and the assurance of God's protection for His faithful. The symbolic use of locusts, scorpions, and armies conveys the intensity of the trials ahead, while the concept of sealing reinforces the security of those who remain steadfast in their faith. The task was entrusted to two angels. While one group of angels was responsible for restraining Satan and his forces, another angel was given the duty of identifying and distinguishing the faithful servants of God. These servants were marked by the seal of God on their foreheads, a sign easily recognized by God. This seal ensured their safety and protection during the most challenging times. Many groups have claimed to be the 144,000 mentioned in Revelation chapters 7 and 14. Firstly, the term children of Israel refers to the descendants of Jacob, who was later called Israel, as noted in Revelation 7 verse 4. Their tribal affiliations are specified in Revelation 7 verses 4 to 8. During God's wrath, they will be protected and victorious, meeting Jesus on Mount Zion upon His return, as detailed in Revelation 14 verse 1. This verse describes the Lamb standing on Mount Zion with the 144,000 who have His and His Father's names written on their foreheads, signifying divine ownership. They are described as celibate in Revelation 14 verse 4, where it states they have not been defiled with women and follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These individuals are seen as first fruits to God and the Lamb, set apart for special service. They represent the beginning of a larger harvest and are marked by integrity and faithfulness, as mentioned in Revelation 14 verse 5. The act of sealing symbolizes divine protection and ownership, representing spiritual preservation during tribulation. The 12 tribes contribute 12,000 members each, symbolizing completeness in God's selection. In biblical numerology, 12 signifies divine authority and completeness. Multiplying 12 tribes by 12,000 members suggests expanded completeness. This sealing of the 144,000 is a sign of God's sovereignty and his ability to preserve his chosen ones amid chaos and destruction, offering comfort and assurance to believers. In contrast, the mark of the beast, discussed in Revelation 13 verses 16 to 17, signifies loyalty to an evil character opposed to God. This mark, necessary for economic participation, distinguishes those who worship the beast. The mark of the beast is mentioned as being imposed by a figure referred to as the beast, who compels everyone to receive a mark on their right hand or forehead, signifying loyalty and allowing economic activity only to those who have the mark. This mark is contrasted with the seal of God, which represents divine authority and protection. The seal is a spiritual mark of faith and obedience to God, whereas the mark of the beast is often interpreted as a physical sign of conformity to evil forces. The seal of God signifies eternal salvation and alignment with God's will, while the mark represents temporary gain at the cost of spiritual condemnation. God's seal, as described in Ephesians 1 verses 13 to 14, provides believers with inclusion in Christ, making them part of Him and His righteousness. This seal also identifies them as His witnesses, similar to the 144,000. Revelation 7 verses 9 to 14 describes a great multitude from every nation, standing before God's throne, having come out of the great tribulation, and worshiping God for their salvation. Paul, in Ephesians 1 verse 13 and 4:30, speaks of believers being marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit, a pledge and protection by God. Similarly, in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 22, he describes believers as being sealed and given the Spirit in their hearts as a guarantee. This sealing occurs at baptism, marking genuine Christians as children of God and heirs of eternal life, as stated in Romans 8 verses 14 to 16. This process signifies spiritual protection and inclusion in God's eternal family. Salvation is not limited to the 144,000. Revelation 7 verses 9 to 13 describes a great multitude from all nations, standing before God in white robes. These individuals have come out of the great tribulation and serve before God's throne due to their faithfulness. The Bible suggests that God allows the existence of evil for a greater purpose, using it to fulfill His divine plans, as illustrated in the book of Job. Romans 8 verse 28 states that God works for the good of those who love Him. The coexistence of a loving God with evil and suffering is a complex topic, often explained by human free will and God's ultimate sovereignty. Revelation also mentions four angels at the river Euphrates, symbolizing significant changes and chaos. This part of the vision highlights God's omnipotence and serves as a reminder of divine judgment, redemption, and the triumph of good over evil. Some interpretations of Revelation 16 verses 12 to 16 suggest that China might play a role in the end times, referring to the kings from the east crossing the dried-up Euphrates to join the Battle of Armageddon. This aligns with the prophecy of nations attempting conquest and ultimately facing divine judgment. Psalm 2 verses 2 to 6 assures that despite these earthly struggles, God has everything under control. This narrative emphasizes the importance of listening to and understanding God's Word, encouraging continuous learning and faith strengthening. The biblical narratives and prophecies highlight the distinction between divine protection and worldly allegiance, urging believers to remain faithful and trust in God's ultimate plan. Mark 11 verse 24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Open your heart and believe so that the blessings of this prayer will come to you. Say this prayer with faith. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you today. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You, the Lord, you created the earth and the heavens and all that is in them. I give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, God, for everything you have done in my life. I'm grateful for the good things and even the tough times. You've been with me through it all, and for that, I say thank you from the bottom of my heart. God of mercy and compassion, please look with pity on me. I know I have sinned against you. I ask for your forgiveness. Father, Lord, have mercy on my mistakes and failures. Every mistake I have done in word, action, and deeds, Father, forgive me. For your word clearly says in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me. Now in the name of Jesus, I declare the power of God against any work of the enemy. Every secret agenda the devil and his cohorts have plotted against me be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. Father, your word said Christ was manifested that the works of the enemy might be destroyed. Every work of the enemy against my marriage, my job, my business, my career, my family, and children be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, I declare fruitfulness in every area of my life. Let the power of Christ touch my life so I bear fruit. I am fruitful in my life, in my ministry, in my marriage, in my business, in my career, in my job, and in my finances, for the Lord gives us power to make wealth. Let prosperity be my portion in Jesus' name. I will not lack but have in abundance. Lord, I want to serve you with all my heart. Anything that hinders my service, Father, deliver me. God, save me from myself. Save me from people who will not lead me to you. Save me from desires which are not godly, things which are not in line with your word. Father, help me obey your word. Sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Lord, make me strong. Make me fervent in you. Restore unto me, Lord, the joy of my salvation. Father, restore all the things I have lost, either by my ignorance or carelessness. You said in your word that the years the locust has eaten in our lives, you will restore us. Thank you, Lord, for restoring me, my family, my marriage, my career, and my ministry. Father, you sent forth your word to heal our diseases and sicknesses. I declare your healing from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Father, heal my family, friends, and loved ones. Let your healing be their portion too. I boldly declare that I am a child of God. I walk in victory through faith. I am the head and never the tail. I am what God says I am in Jesus' mighty name. I boldly declare Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, my Father God, for hearing my prayer and answering my prayer. Amen. As this message has blessed you, type the word Amen in the comment section and share with us your testimony too in the comment section. In the name of Jesus Christ, all these blessings have come upon you now. Beloved, help us spread the gospel of Christ and reach more people all over the world by liking this video and sharing this message with your family, friends, and loved ones. We really appreciate your great support. We plead with you to subscribe so you can receive more videos that will revive your spirit and uplift your life. Christ came that all people will be saved. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, this is the right time to do so. Say this after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and because of me, you came to die on the cross of Calvary. Father, forgive me of all my sins. Today, I boldly declare that you are my Lord and personal Savior. come into my heart and lead me. As you have said this prayer, congratulations, you have been born again. Please look for a pastor in a Bible-believing church and tell him you have given your life to Christ. You will need to fellowship with other believers to learn about your new life. Prayer is a very powerful tool God has given us. With prayer, our problems receive solution and we get comforted by God. Please leave your prayer request in the comments section. We are constantly interceding on your behalf before God. Trust me, friends, our God will answer your every prayer request. Sometimes we may not reply to your prayer request in the comments section, but that does not mean we are not praying for you. We have you at heart and your requests. May the grace of our Jesus Christ and the love of God be with you now and forevermore. Amen.